things that we want and we expect is for whatever that item is for it to be reliable. Nobody wants to purchase something that is not reliable. Nobody sees a car on the lot and says, "That's a pretty car. I'll purchase it no matter what." Hey, it may be a pretty car, but you want it to be reliable, right? If you give the guy $5,000 and he goes, "I'll help you push it off the lot," you bought the wrong car right there. Because reliability is something we expect. You know, it's a crazy thing, guys, when you think about it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, died, rose from the dead, and then went back into heaven. And then his plan that all mankind could come back to God was for this small band of men and women to go in all the world and preach the gospel. That was his plan. But you know what that was contingent upon? Reliability. When Paul wrote to Timothy about Timothy's ministry there in Ephesus, and in 2 Timothy, he told Timothy, "Entrust to reliable men who will also be able to teach others." In other words, this thing that started for me on the Damascus Road, I was commissioned to go. But as my time is drawing near and his martyrdom was about there, he's telling Timothy, "Timothy, what we need now are reliable men and women. Not just people that think Christianity is a good idea, but reliable." Because you see, the word reliable can be equated with faithful. What does it mean to be a Christian? It does mean to be reliable. But if people are not reliable, what happens? God's purpose doesn't take a step forward for that person. God will have to find somebody else who will be reliable. That should never happen. Today I want to talk to the members here. For those of you visiting with us, please feel free to participate, because I think some things I'll share will help you as well. But for the brothers and sisters here, we have quite a few needs. Now guess what? If somehow we ever got to the point where everything is just going right and the way it should, we're still going to have quite a bit of needs. That's one thing about it. We are always going to be in need because we're not perfect yet. But I want us to stop and think, and I want each of us to ask ourselves, am I reliable? Now that's important. Because if you're part of God's purpose, you have to be reliable. Now, when you think of reliability, you do think of dependability. But let me give you two I's that to me sum up reliability and what we need here. I number one is initiative. Initiative. I number two is integrity. It's interesting. I walked in today, and there's some changes in some of the Bible talks we're having to make because people are assuming other responsibilities. And one couple that was leading a Bible talk, they're going to be doing some other responsibilities to serve the church here, which is awesome. But it's like, okay, who's going to lead this? You know what I loved? I walked in here, and one of the men grabbed me and goes, "Sheridan, I don't know if this is work, but the brother told us what's going to have to happen." And so I got the other guy, and we're going to try and come up with a plan, even if we have to do a men's Bible talk, and maybe do it early in the morning because all of our work schedules are crazy. But you know the thing I loved? Initiative. Initiative. I didn't call him up ahead of time and say, "I want you to encourage me. Can you think of something?" He just did it on his own. He doesn't get paid to do that. So why did he do that? Because God's purpose is moving through. He's part of God's body, God's church. And so initiative is part of that.
Yes.
If initiative is left to only a few people, it is dysfunctional. That is not a healthy body. Something has happened. Now, there are a lot of reasons why people don't take the initiative. I know. I've been discouraged. I've been disappointed. My situation is not the way it should be. All of a sudden, all these things have happened to me. You know what? As soon as each one of those things gets, quote-unquote, fixed, There's going to be some other things. So that's kind of a losing scenario there. There's always going to be reasons why I shouldn't take the initiative. Always. And what happens is we end up becoming more American than we do Christian. We come to church. We become good folk. And please, don't go out and become bad folk. Okay, I'm not advocating that, all right? But just being good religious folk is not what Jesus died for. Right? That's something you can do without Christ. That's something that we've done before without Christ. We don't need Him to do that. So, initiative. Integrity. If I say something, then you know what? I need to back that up. If I say I'm going to do something, hey, if you have to look at me and make sure until it's done, something's wrong. If I have to keep being reminded, now we all forget. I don't want any perfectionists here about ready to jump out of their chair. I'm not going to heaven. It's not what I'm here about. I'm just talking about when you say something, follow up. That's what I'm saying. That's being reliable. That's like, yes, I'll do that. First of all, I take initiative. Now, you know what? You can only do what you can do. You can't do everyone's stuff. Everyone can do one.
Yes.
That's the body of Christ. And so you take the initiative, but then also you are reliable. You do it until it is done without anyone having to ask you. Do you know why you and I are sitting here in Staten Island? Worshiping? Because 2,000 years ago, and for 2,000 years, God found reliable men and women.
Yes, sir.
That's the only reason. That is it. Well, God did it. Yeah, but how He chose to do it. His way, His purpose is us. But it's up to us to decide, I will be reliable.
Yes.
I am who God is looking for to accomplish His purpose in life. Church is not about us. It's about God.
Yes.
It's always been about God. His cause, His purpose, His mission. I just happen to get my needs taken care of as a fruit of all of that. But I don't come here, why isn't the church doing something for me? I come here, God, who would you have me to be?
Yes.
Now, guys, it's easy for me to keep going on to wax eloquently, or like they say, wax the elephant. I can, you know, talk about this all day. But that doesn't mean anything, does it? Because we've all heard that. I've heard so many messages on how you need to be committed, you need to be a disciple. You know what? We're always going to need that. It's so easy for us to compromise in this materialistic society we live in. You know, we're like a bunch of drug addicts around a bunch of drugs. I mean, that's what materialism is. It just takes the edge off us and we give our hearts and everything to everything else but to God. So I understand it. We're always going to have to hear that. But why is it that bounces off? I don't know all the reasons, but let me start with one. Let's look at John 14. John 14. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would come to know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Stop there for a second. We'll read on. Notice what Philip said. Philip's going to be a reliable man. He has been for nearly ever since he began following Jesus. When Jesus called him, Philip's seen amazing things. He's seen a lot of opposition growing. He's seen a band of brothers and sisters come together, and he saw about everyone leave in John 6. I mean, it's been the best of times, the worst of times, and all of this. But he kept following Jesus because he believed he was the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah. And so he's in there. So, Philip, what do you need to be reliable? Jesus has them gathered. He knows something is going to happen here. I told him it's going to happen, they refuse to believe that it's going to happen, they're going to see it's going to happen, and it's going to be blood. So, Philip, what do you need? Do you need for the situation to just be right for you? Do you need for me to say just the right down here? What do you need, Philip? Philip says, you know what? Show us the Father, and that's enough.
Wow.
Show me God. That's why I followed you in the first place. I believe you are God in the flesh. So show me God, and that's enough. I don't need anything else. Mm. Hey, if they want to kill me too. It doesn't matter because God is God. He alone is eternal. He is the creator of all, and all mankind goes back to Him. Mm. So that's all I want. Show me God. So, what I'm thinking about, how can I inspire us and inspire myself to be reliable? Let's start with that. Think about God. I so appreciate what Joseph, Phoebe, and Amanda shared. You know what you did? You thought about God. I hope that wasn't just a meaningful time there. But I hope it continued to open your heart that this is what it's all about. None of us do anything unless we have a reason. None of us do anything. If we quit something, we quit because of a reason. If we do something, we do something. There's always a reason, there's always a motivation. So, question, what will it take for you to be reliable? God. I don't want you to be reliable because I say so. That's the dumbest reason in the world. Okay? That's so dumb. Why would you do that? You just wait for me to preach the right sermon, guys. No. I've got high blood pressure. I'm a stroke waiting to happen here, all right? My time here is probably not going to be all that much long. I don't know. You know, God alone decides that. But my goodness, if you're just waiting to have a certain person say something to you in a certain way, in a certain... Ouch. Because you know what? I'm going to fail you. There are times I'm just going to drop the ball on something and fail you. Do I want to fail you? Never. I want to make sure I'm everything that I know I'm going to. Until I see Jesus, then I'll be perfect. So God has to be your motivation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's look at what the next verse says. Verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Philip, you want to be motivated? Philip, what will it take for you to be reliable, especially now the cross is coming? I've warned you about that. I know you guys won't catch it right then, but you will come back. What's it going to take? It'll take God. And here's the thing, Philip. You've seen me, you've seen God. You've got all of the motivation you need to be faithful unto death, to pay any cost, to go anywhere, to do anything. You've got all the motivation you need. Why? Because when you've seen me, you've seen God. So here's what I want to do. I want to throw out a couple of views of Jesus. And these obviously aren't the only ones. But I want you to open your heart and say, will this motivate me to be reliable? Guys, I won't be reliable to you or to anyone else unless I'm motivated. I'll be lazy. I'll be self-centered. I'll be self-indulgent. All right? So let's consider. Show me God, Jesus, and that'll be enough. So we go to John 3. John 3. Let's look at a couple of these views here. What do we see? John 3. We're going to read this here, and we don't need a football stadium. Okay? I'm going to take this totally out of the context, out of a football stadium. Because it was in here before it was ever a football stadium. John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus talking to Nicodemus here. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus as well as his disciples, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." God so loved you, Nicodemus. God so loves you, Philip. God so loves Hector and Arthur, who go right, Carmichael, and each one of us. So loved. The word there is a word of intensity. It defines it. This is not a general love. This is not a, oh man, I just love everybody. This is a, I love on steroids. I so love. This is not a toleration. This is a total commitment. Wow. You know, as the Robersons were talking about, and I just appreciate so much what they were saying, that type of love, it compels us. Do you know why I want to be reliable? So that I can keep my job? What a terrible religion, you know, reason. If I do what I do for that, I might as well ask for 30 pieces of silver. You know why I want to be reliable? Because God so loved me that He gave Jesus for me. How much do you love? How much, whoever the object of your love is, how much do you love them? You know what? Something is worth what we're willing to sacrifice for. What's the picture here? The picture is of a God who sacrifices. This is a God who is, in and of Himself, is creator. Being, life comes from Him. He decides, all gone, there's not a thing anyone can do about that. Not a thing, because we, in Him, we move and live and have our very being. That's what Paul preached about. God is sovereign. He knows everything at every time throughout all history. We are so confined and so small, and yet the God who sacrifices, the God that Jesus is showing to Philip, is a God that so loves. He's got to tell him it's a degree thing. It's not a casual thing. So loved that He gave. Oh man, I was crying when they were talking about that little child separated.
Yeah.
Crying and freaking out on the front row when they were talking about that. A little four-year-old in a New York subway station. Mm-hmm. And thank the Lord for those type of New Yorkers that circle around. New York is a bad rap. There's some great folks here. Very great folks here. But I was feeling that. What was that child thinking? The separation. There goes mom and the sisters on a big train. And I am there. What are they thinking? That separation. And I'm just crying. I'm feeling it. And the whole time, God's saying, Sheridan, listen to the message. I so loved you that I deliberately did that to my son. And Jesus is saying, I so loved you, Sheridan, that I deliberately entered into that arena of separation. Sheridan gets to be connected because I was willing to be separated. I was willing to go to the very worst thing that could happen to me. The very worst thing. What's the most violent crime that could happen to you? What's the worst torture? What's the worst? I mean, you paint the scenario. Now you have a little bit of reason what Jesus was wrestling in prayer about. Why did He do that? So that He could have a church? No. So that He could have His people back with Him. There's motivation to be reliable. I don't want to let Him down. I want that type of love to motivate me. What did you see? What did you so love that would cause you to take initiative here? You know what? Please don't make it about people here. Don't focus on the lovability of people, although there are a lot of things I love about us. And there are things you may love about me. But guess what, folks? I know that there are things about me that you're not going to love. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. So our focus is not, are you worthy to be loved? Are you worth my initiative yet? Are you worth my integrity yet? Wait till you get it together. And then I will do what I need. Show me the Father. And that is enough for me to take initiative. I have been so loved that He gave the very best. How can I not have the same attitude? But someone may not recognize it. God knows. Show me the Father, Jesus. That's the only motivation. will be oblivious. People may attack. People may misunderstand. People do all that. But your love lasts forever.
Yes, sir.
Your love will allow me to overcome that. Your love will help me to deal with hurt feelings, with disappointments, with discouragement. Those are real. Don't deny them. And we need to talk it through. We need to care for one another. But the bottom line is the love of God.
Yes,
God so loved me, He gave His one and only Son. I so love you, God, that I... what? You've got to fill in that hole. And let's start with reliability. Another picture. Luke 7. You know, this is one of my favorites, and I keep trying to say, now, Sharon, why do you have a favorite? I don't know if it's the favorite, but it's one of mine. I just love it. Verse 11, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town, town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus is reconciling the world to God. Jesus is starting this ministry. He's lived in the human flesh for 30 years. He's experienced a lot of things. Now he's starting the ministry. He's going to reveal himself, die on the cross, be raised from the dead, go back to heaven. And now a gospel will bring all mankind to Jesus is there. And you think that is a glorious quest. That is an amazing quest. What a mission. What a purpose. What a happening. So what's this little incident in there for? I mean, strategically, back in those days, this is a woman. This is a widow. I mean, we're not talking about someone that society recognized as crucial and integral to a flourishing society. She would have been just kind of, okay, somebody's got to take care of her. Let's do, you know, what can she? Why take the time? You know why? Because when we see Jesus, we see God. He is the God that notices. There is no such thing as an unimportant person. There is no such thing as an unacknowledged pain that a person goes through. People may know, God knows. Or people may not know, God knows. And God notices. You know, loneliness is a tragic thing, isn't it? There are times in my life I've been lonely in a crowd. I've been afraid that people really know me. You know? I've got some baggage that I wouldn't ask people to help me unpack. I just hold on to the baggage. And so you can be there with people, but you're alone. You know, loneliness, it goes against everything we were created for. We were created in love for love. So we're created to attach. And that's why fallen man will keep attaching. Now, the attachments don't last that long. They attach to anything and any, you know. They're dying, so they have to. But it's because they're created to do that. But then you have people say, "I'm a loner. I just want to be by myself." Two reasons. One, they're afraid that I don't want to get hurt or something, so they have to. So now they live in fear, really. But it's easier this way than getting involved. Or they're a loner to make an impression on other people, which means they still need people to acknowledge the fact you're a loner. The easy rider type. I mean, none of us want to be alone. Really, deep down, but we are afraid. And we think nobody knows the pain. And you know what? Sometimes you are in pain, and you can be around God's people, and they just don't understand. They don't get it. and you think, you know, what am I doing? I'll tell you what you're doing here. You're here because of God. You're here to be reliable for God. But what about my pain? God notices. God is a God that notices. You are not insignificant. If you think that the God that speaks here in front of you is the key in this whole thing, you are drastically wrong. Drastically. Believe me, I've been in a room with other evangelists. Not a lot can get done until someone decides they can leave. You know, we're all in this together. But we all have to be reliable. But those of us that start feeling like nobody knows the pain, God knows. But that doesn't help me. Oh, yes, it does. Because when you understand that you are not alone, when you understand that God Himself is there, when you start focusing and connecting there, then you know what? You will need other people because God created you that way, but they will be additional help, not the salvation help. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whenever we make people the salvation, oh, you've got to get me out of this. You've got to heal me. Oh, my goodness. You're going to hurt yourself more. But when people can be a way that God uses to heal us, then we got the right thing. But brother, sister, you want motivation to be reliable? God notices. He's a God that notices. You don't have to be a certain way, a certain type, a certain anything. You just be.
Yeah.
And you're important. And He notices. Wow. Thank Him. We all got a part here, right? We all got a part. And then lastly, He is the God who serves. Look at John 13. You know, this... I am thankful for all the years I've been able to study the Scriptures. And those of you, you're thankful for that, even if you're a young Christian. You know, it's great. Sometimes when we studied it so much, we know what to expect. I've read John 13, and I know where it's going to go. I can almost just go through it, you know, quote it all. My goodness, if somehow we could go back 2,000 years to when this was put together, people saw this, because their idea of God is not what I'm about to read right now. What I'm about to read right now in their mind would have been un-God-like. And yet Jesus says, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. John 13, verse 2. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No, Peter," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean." The God who serves. The Greeks would look at their gods as those not to be trusted. Many of them didn't believe in them anyway. But those gods may come after your wife. You know? So it's like, oh my gosh. And those gods can be very capricious. Other religions would think about their gods and the mystery and all of this. And here we come to who God really is. The God who serves. The God who takes off the outer clothing, wraps a towel, stoops down, and washes our feet. Boy, Peter had the right response. No! Are you kidding? You're supposed to be the Holy One of God. I'm the one that said you're the Son of God. You don't wash my feet. A common servant does that. And Jesus says, look, unless I wash you, you have no part of it. Peter's pretty quick to change, isn't he? Oh, okay, well then why not the hands, head, everything? Let's do the whole bath. You know, Peter's into the spa at this point. You know, he doesn't get it. But the thing he got initially is that God does not serve. Man serves. God receives service. And Jesus said, now you know what, guys? You've seen me. You've seen the Father. I am here to serve. You know what? I'm here to meet your needs. Now, one thing he didn't promise us is to always meet our wants. Okay? He's here to meet our needs. Now, you know the thing about wants is wants are insatiable, aren't they? We get something and it's great. And we're living. Finally, I got this. My life is complete for 2 weeks. Then there's something else we need. You know? And then right when you get it, you think, oh, right. You know, I remember the first car I bought. First car, 1972. Worked all summer long. I bought a 1966 Pontiac Tempest. Overhead cam six. Three on the tree. You guys don't even know what that is. Some of the old folks do. $400. $400. That was an awesome car. I took that car out that night. Went to Highway 50. Highway 50, Orlando, is where you would do some dragging. You know, you just punch it and kind of let it go out. So I am feeling really big about myself, right? Because I got what I wanted. And I'm at the red light, and I'm waiting for that thing to turn. I'm going to pop the clutch. The minute it hits green, and I'm going like a banshee. Except that God pulls up next to me in a Corvette Stingray. 427 cubic inch engine. And he starts revving it. A deep growl. No. I didn't even rev mine. It didn't come out. That light turned green. I never saw him again. And I remember all of a sudden I had a snapshot of reality. If you come come into a relationship and you're looking for that person to fill you up, that's where disaster is.
Yes, sir.
But when it is God who fills you up, when you come in whole, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but you come in, I'm all about God. This relationship's going to be all about God. If that's not what you want, then okay, it won't work. But me, I'm all about God. I'm whole in that. Then you're able to come in and build something. But if the other person is supposed to make you whole, you complete me. You know, that became a popular saying, and now we have more divorces and busted relationships and everyone. And the whole time, people in their ceremonies, you complete me. And then, you know, in 2 years, it's gone. What happened to completion? You know why? Because God Himself alone is worthy to do that. God is the God who serves. He will meet your needs. He gets you to the point where whatever happens, happens. It can hurt, it can be, but I'll be okay. Because I am connected to Him. I have what I need. And now I'm free. I can enjoy one, lose one, doesn't matter. Because I am with the God who the God who sacrifices. The God who serves. I only started, but I got to stop today. You go back and you look at that. God is the reason that motivates you to be alive. You know something, guys? You are awesome people. You're some of the most fun people. When a need happens, someone needs money or something, man, you guys are generous. You really are. Missions contributions, boom, we knock it out of the park, you know? Weekly contributions, we're doing the budget. Oh, a special need, boom, hope has something. There's a disaster, boom. You guys are awesome. You're awesome. Don't sacrifice. But there are other things we're going to need help in. We need a reliability to help one another grow. Discipling has dropped off in many people's lives. They don't pray with each other. They don't get with each other. Some people feel free to leave and no one calls them. You know, hopefully I'll get around to calling them, but you know what? I can't do it all. I'm not the hub of the wheel. I'm just part of this, right? We need reliability. We need people that will think, what's some other responsibility that maybe I can do? I can't do everything, but I can do this. What are the needs in the children's ministry? What are the needs in ushering? What are the needs in communion? What are the needs in worship? What are the needs in small groups? What are the needs? What are the needs? What can I do? And whatever I do, I want to take the initiative, and I want to have integrity. It is done. I don't expect anyone to do everything, because that's not the body of Christ. That is not it. Brothers and sisters, I want us all to be alive and find out what we can do so that God's purpose is accomplished here, because we serve a God who is beyond words. But let's just start with the God who sacrifices, the God who notices, and the God who serves.